Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. We are so fortunate, Trey, to have on a variety of guests way smarter than we are to share their life and industry expertise, all things healthy versus not healthy, and whatever the topic is. Yeah, we talk healthcare, business, community life. It's pretty fun, Trey. What do you think?
I think we have a good time.
So far, so good?
So far, so good.
I am pumped. I get more excited than anyone. I don't know if the guests get excited or not. I do. This is like a 20-year friend of mine.
20-year reunion?
About 20 years. A kid I grew up with. Shout out Kyle Martin.
Shout out.
Roommates with him. Doesn't matter. This man is a stud on a variety of levels. Tim McMahon is the chief revenue officer.
Sales officer,
yep. Not even close. Butchered the intro. I love when I butcher the intro. Tim McMahon, I love you. Welcome. Came up from South Florida. Does have some work. Take Two Consulting.
You got it.
Welcome to Thunderdome.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You ready to party?
This is my first radio show.
It's a podcast.
Come on, Tim.
It's both.
I'm very, very ready to party. Excited to be here. And thanks for having me. Incredible what you've done so far and excited to be a part of it.
We've had a fun ride, somehow surrounded by Gators, another Gator with us. Good friends, great companies. We'll get to Take Two Consulting in a minute. You are a Gator graduate. UF graduate, excuse
me. UF grad, yep. UF grad, 2006, political science. Wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but just missed the back-to-back national championships, the Tebow years. I left when he was coming in. Asked my parents if I could stay. They said no. It was a fun run. I got to see the end of Spurrier's career and the beginning of Tebow's.
So did you ask your parents to go back to college just to be there during the sports run, or you wanted to get more degrees?
So I was leaving the spring of 06. Tebow, I went to spring training to see Tebow practice. That was my final spring, and I knew they were going to be good in the fall of 06. Was their first national. And so I said, Mom, I could figure this out and do one more semester. And she was
she said no.
She said absolutely not.
This is a good, we'll get to Take Two here in a second. So you're graduating college, applying to jobs. That was a good run for the Gators. Like, you got two Florida State fans here. Football, basketball.
Football, basketball, and then the unpopular sports too, we happen to be really good at as
all
well.
Of them.
We have, I don't know how many swimming Olympic athletes in the most recent Olympics, but we had the most of any college. You've got the golf team, several golfers that are excellent, probably good at bowling as well. I'm not sure, but it just seems like the everything school fits the University of Florida.
And academically, I'll say, like, if my kids have to pick a school in Florida to go to for academics, never mind. I'm not going to say that on air.
I will share a quick stat. I just saw this last week. 90,000 kids applied for this fall, 18,000 in.
It's absurd. Let's hit
90,000,
it.
18,000.
Odds are your kids aren't getting in that school, even with a 4.0 and a 1,500 SAT.
The average starts at 4.2.
Do they still do the community college, you're guaranteed to get in?
Yes.
Like you do to, okay.
Yes. Well, you're guaranteed to get into a state school. Okay. Not necessarily your state school that you choose. You're just guaranteed a state university.
If you go to Santa Fe for 2 years, you can transition to UF. If you're over, I think it's got to be a 3.0 or above.
Right. You have to have the grades, but it's guaranteed if you have an associate's that you can get into a state college, a university, but it's not guaranteed you will get into UF. It could be UCF, USF, FSU.
UNF, baby.
UNF.
We're UNF guys. Man, already.
High school buddy's athletic director there.
Who is it?
Nick Morrow.
I know Nick.
Yep.
And oh my gosh, small world. Well, dang it, off the rails already. I want to go back to your journey. Yep. You studied political science because you wanted to be a...
I wasn't sure, but I considered law school, considered politics, and thoroughly at the time it was the Bush-Kerry election, and so I really wanted to understand that a little bit more and potentially get involved in politics. Had an opportunity to go intern for Mel Martinez when he was a senator.
My uncle was his LC for years, Mel Martinez.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Very cool. Then they offered me $1,000 a month to live in D.C., and I couldn't afford to do that.
Money matters.
Right, exactly.
So you got, I love this story. You got offered three jobs coming. This is the story to take to what you're doing now, because I think your company's awesome, which I'll do. It's a big deal. Merrill Lynch.
Merrill Lynch.
D.C. as an intern, and it was called Apex at the time, right?
Apex
and
recruiting and staffing. Still Apex. They're Apex part system. Of a larger company now, but Apex was the brand.
And you and Kyle Martin were golfing, is that what you said?
We were. It was June. It was actually May of 06, so exactly 19 years ago this month. And and we were on the golf course, and I wasn't sure the direction I wanted to go. And speaking with Kyle, he gave me some great wisdom at the time. He was heading to FPL, and I decided, he said Apex was the route, and just career opportunity. You know, I was young and wanted opportunity to, if performed, advancement and continued education was available. And at the time, that was what Apex offered.
Recruiting and staffing. This is like, how do you take this 20-minute conversation into 2 minutes? So did that, bounced around a couple places, moved to Fort Lauderdale. I'm trying to get to take two as quick as I can.
Yep.
Recruiting and staffing, a unique beast in all type of employment. Bounced around, moved to South Florida, ended up at Take Two. Mm-hmm. When?
Officially April of 2022. So started there just over 3 years ago.
That's not that long ago.
No, you know, it was an opportunity from an individual that I worked with in DC back in the day. He called me up at the beginning of 2022 and just said, hey, this is an incredible company. I think you should highly consider it. We need a individual to help us rapidly grow and expand sales and bring the commercial practice, commercial customer focus into the firm. And I think it'd be a great role for you. And I was looking for a step up. I was looking for an opportunity with, at the time, 16 years of experience under my belt to go to a company that needed some help to scale and grow sales and bring in a different customer base and diversify the portfolio a little bit. And it was a match made in heaven from day one.
That's a lot of big business words. Trey, get your mic, 'cause I'm going to ask you a question. What do you know about recruiting and staffing?
I don't know much other than my wife has used that service when she got her first job back in the day.
So your wife was used a staffing firm to help place her somewhere?
Yes.
So again, who's listening? I want to ask, you don't know, but what is recruiting and staffing? I know what it is. I can give my version, but like
tons of flavors of it. Probably, Trey, what your wife was doing, more headhunting, right? So you have headhunters out there that are a little bit different from staffing and recruiting. In its simplest form, the staffing recruiting agent industry is essentially agents for that for a particular skill set that act as the middle folks for in clients in some capacity where there are gaps in talent. So an in client of pick an industry, pick a skill set has a gap. We need to find XYZ type of skill set. We're going to hire this staffing company that specializes not only in this industry, but also in this skill set that can go find this talent at a reasonable price for a certain period of time. Sometimes it's in contract form. Sometimes it's in permanent placement form.
So like an example, 212 Benefits, thanks for sponsoring the show, by the way.
Shout out.
We need a new salesperson. I don't have the time and the bandwidth to find a salesperson. Hey, Tim, I don't think you all do this.
We don't do sales. We're IT focused, but yes.
As an example of the story, then specific what Take Two does, like I need a salesperson or an ops person. I don't have the time to filter resumes, interview early on, weed out people, send us candidates.
Exactly.
That's the recruiting side. I think staffing is like, hey, we have X amount of positions. Can you help staff these positions? Nurses, IT, et cetera.
Right. I mean, the industry works very similarly. How you're explaining it is correct. I would say there's added hidden cost benefit to using a staffing agency, fringe benefits, health benefits.
I'm all about your world, by the way.
Right. I mean, all of that stuff, most of the time, the biggest benefit for any firm to use a staffing company, any company to use a staffing company would be in a contract or contract to hire scenario where they are unsure if it's a skill set or a position that they're unsure, even if they do 15 interviews, we don't know if this person's going to work out. Let's try before we buy. Let's give the person a 6-month trial. The staffing company owns everything from a fringe perspective. All the company is responsible for paying for, at least from a Take Two perspective, how we present it, is the hourly rate in which that individual works certain number of billable hours. They work 40 hours. We bill you for a rate for those 40 hours. We pay the individual. Everything else behind the scenes is taken care of by us.
I'm going back to that. So Trey and I want to start a marketing firm. Trey needs to hire 3 or 4 camera/editors. We're not sure if they're going to work out. You're going to staff them on our behalf.
Exactly.
Right? I need to go find other people to do videography stuff and create content. That's staffing. Then when we decide this person's great, we want to hire them full time, do you pass them off to said business?
Right. So there's typically a period of time where there would be no cost to then hire that person. For us, it's 6 months. So the industry standard, industry norm is after 6 months of contract billable hours, that company can hire that person for no additional cost. So they would flip over to a full badged resource day one for no cost. If they were to hire before then, there's a percentage of salary similar to like a perm placement scenario where that person would be, you would be charged X percent. If it's a $100,000 resource, call it a 10% charge, it would be a $10,000 fee to hire that person early, something like that.
Go ahead.
Do you ever find any situations that come about where, let's say you get Eric the job in the IT space, they love Eric. They want to speed up the process of getting Eric on board. Does that ever happen?
Absolutely. And in certain scenarios, listen, depending on who the customer is and the partnership we have with that customer, you know, we're a reasonable company that we'll do some negotiation. Perhaps they give us the next position, the next two or three positions in an exclusive situation. If it's a one-off, they'll pay a fee, right? If it's early, but
is it 10 to 20% of first year salary? This is actually really good stuff for business owners that don't understand how this
I would
works.
Say everything is negotiable.
Great
everything
answer.
Is negotiable.
Great
and
answer.
And that's the beauty of Take Two. I mean, we're privately held. It gives us a lot of flexibility that some of the larger firms don't have that have to ultimately answer to a shareholder or a board. We don't have that. So we have the luxury to be flexible to every type of customer, be it the largest Fortune 100s or the smallest companies.
212 benefits.
Yeah. I'm kidding. I wouldn't say
212. That's the most shout outs 212's ever got on one show, by the way. 212. Okay. So your role, when you started here, were you hammering phones, building relationships? Like, help me understand your role. And then we got plenty of time to dive more into Take Two.
Yeah, so it's evolved over the last 3 years. I'll just zero in on really the last 6 months. We really, you know, with the new administration coming in into DC, our foundation as a firm was federal in nature as our end client. So a lot of what we built on backbone has been supporting the federal government. We knew with the new administration coming in that that was going to potentially look a little bit different. And so over the last 36 months, we've been building our commercial practice, which is where I have built my career, and that was zeroed into, okay, the end of 24, we want Tim and team to go really focus exclusively in the commercial space. And so we brought someone in.
When you say commercial, like what do you mean commercial?
In client.
I know.
So totally get it. The in client is a commercial client versus the in client being a federal client of some sort, right? A government client, be it civilian, DOD, Intel, or some other, you know, piece of the federal government.
So Tim and team are building this.
Exactly. So we've been building that for since the beginning of, we launched commercial beginning of 2023. And so we're going into, we have all 23, all 24. This is our third year. We've been on a really nice run where we've doubled the size of that business over the last couple of years. And it'll be a stretch to double it again in 2023, but we'll be at 70 to 80% growth this year.
You can do it.
Shout out whoever decided to pull the plug.
Bring this man over too.
Well, no, in 2023 to go that route in the commercial space, like foreseeing kind of how the economy is going to look.
We have a really strong board of advisors, a really, really strong executive chair, a good solid founder that had the vision of, hey, we need to diversify the portfolio. And they pushed us, you know, they had the idea to do that, and we started doing it. And I think that everyone would say wish it was a little bit bigger at this point. We're really pleased with where it's trending.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
A little bit baller?
I wish. Hey, you know the song. We got to drop some fun in here. How many employees at Take Two?
So
full-time employees that work for the not the staff people.
Right. So we have about, call it 800 consultants out in the field performing some sort of duty for our end client. And then we have about 130 internal corporate associates that support Take Two. And my team is 20 associates of that 135 that's responsible for building our commercial practice.
Internal staff, your team or not, how many went to college in the state of Florida?
Well, that's a good question. I think we have at least 3 or 4 Gators. I don't think we have any FSU folks, but we have some other, we have a couple UCFs and
any UNFs.
I don't think we have any UNFs. No.
I want to get y'all in touch.
There's not a lot of Florida peeps. A lot of, you know, a lot of Virginia based individuals.
Is that where headquarters is?
Yeah. That's, okay. We were founded in Tyson's Corner in DC.
Oh, nice. Go ahead.
I was going to say all the federal jobs. If that was a bulk of y'all's clientele,
that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
The DMV is the hub.
Exactly.
I like to do random. We had some serious talk there. Favorite Gator ritual.
Ooh,
two bits.
Probably We Are the Boys. At the end of the third quarter, everyone puts their arms around each other, and you know, you sway back and forth and sing "We Are the Boys of Old Florida," down where the old Gators play. The new tradition is the Tom Petty song.
Dude, that has blown up the last.
It has blown up. I guess I'm more of a traditional individual. You know, I'm a legacy at Florida. My grandfather went to Florida in the 60s during the Spurrier years. My dad and mom went to Florida in the 80s or 70s, excuse me. And then I went
to
Florida.
So you grew up.
Right. Yep. We've been going to Florida, been involved at the university for 40 years in terms of, you know, over periods of decades of time. And, you know, hopefully, like we said, hopefully one of our children goes there, but
Tough odds.
Do you guys have any family that went there when it was only boys or all girls? Because FSU originally was all girls. Florida was all boys, correct? Or is it the other way around?
I think I don't know that. I don't think Florida was all boys. Or
I
all
think
girls.
It was just Florida State.
Okay. Yeah, it was just Florida State. Yeah, we get dogged a lot.
No.
Even though we went to UNF, dude. We're UNF boys.
I'm from Tally.
He is. He grew up there.
Listen, grade schools also. I think Florida has really set themselves apart with some of their, you know, just wins in the athletics area. It's given them a ton of popularity, a lot of state funding, and they've built an incredible university, an incredible engineering group. They've got an amazing medical school. I mean, not to make this about Florida, but
it's turning into
this is
back-to-back weeks of UF talk, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great school. Now, if you go to the Northeast, most people don't even know what the University of Florida is.
Correct.
And they laugh when you say you went to UF. So, you know, if you're in the Southeast
or the far West Coast,
that's why it's known as the Harvard of the South.
I love, that's a bold statement. It's kind of true. Okay. I got to rein it in. I can't do too much UF talk.
Yeah, great school.
I'm gonna kind of plant a seed here because your life has changed dramatically over years. Like, you're a health nut, man. I want the back half, talking about your running recently, Orange Theory. Like, this guy does some really cool stuff. But take two, let's do a couple more of those. What are you most proud, like, what do you guys do well where you're like, yeah, we could do more of this more often?
I'd say the thing I'm most proud of is the development of some of the folks that we've brought in. So we implemented a HTD, hire, train, deploy model of hiring straight out of college and training them in our industry and training them in our company and then deploying them to either be recruiters or account executives, depending on the route that they take. Seeing those individuals succeed, make six figures is probably the most rewarding and probably the thing that I wish we did more of. Have we been as successful there as we'd want to? No, we've had challenges. There's some things that you can't foresee, but that is the most rewarding. Seeing your company and your firm and the folks that work with you develop folks that then go on and build careers and families and things like that that's the most rewarding thing for me.
So how long is the training process? Hire, train, how long is training?
We train them for 8 weeks it's an on-the-job style training. So they're training in the seat, but they're not really responsible for any KPIs or anything from that perspective.
What does KPI stand for, Trey? I love this dude. What does KPI stand
for? Key performance indicators.
Okay. I like when you guess.
The trend, are they trending in the right
intercept.
Direction?
Like, I love Trey.
Are they trending in the right direction? So we train them for 8 weeks out of school. They work for us for 5-6 months, and then we evaluate and say, hey, we're ready to move them into a new client-facing role. And we start
train for 8 weeks, develops 5 to 6
hire,
months.
Hire, train, develop them over a 6-month period of time to do what we call the entry-level job, which is really basic recruiting 101. Once we feel like they've got a good grasp of that and we have a client portfolio that we believe would fit their personality, we deploy them against that client portfolio.
In-person training, virtual training?
Both.
What are we talking?
Both? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Both.
Whatever works now.
Yeah.
I love asking Trey random questions like KPIs.
That's great. I'll have to remember that for later.
So it's been a couple of years you've been there. We got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about the month of June.
Yep.
The hellness. No edits.
Wellness.
I was thinking health. Like that. Wellness. The wellness thing. The month of June, what y'all do, I think is pretty cool.
The June Movement, yeah. So we started this during COVID. Everyone went home in March of 2020, and you know, we rolled through 2 months. I wasn't at the firm at the time, but rolled through 2 months, and the idea was, let's get everybody out. You know, we've been in our houses for 2 months, sort of secluded, and let's get everybody out. Let's get everybody moving again. And so June, it was a hey, let's just get some steps in, and let's see what happens. And so it started at that point, and then over the last 6 years, it's evolved where the company has grown and the Juve Movement contest has stuck with us. It's really a step contest, but the idea is getting some movement in during your day, right? It's very easy to sit on your desk, sit there all day, get tired, zoned in on a 19-inch monitor, 20-inch monitor, whatever it is, and then at the end of the day, make dinner, go to bed, and walk 500 steps the whole day. And so we're trying to get folks motivated as the summer gets going.
No, not really, but I know what you're describing, particularly during COVID. Good grief. That's all of us.
I like that we had numbers. So when you started, there were 40 employees, maybe 20 involved, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Now you're at 130 employees and 100 or more involved.
We did, yeah. We had last year over 100 people that that did it.
That moves the needle. The competition, like somebody wants to win, yep. They're going to try harder, but getting those 100 people just to get up and walk, it's so easy.
And then we threw a 5K in the middle of it just to add a little bit more competition up in Virginia, where we went and did a 5K, and I am the 2-year champ of the local 5K.
Yeah, we're going to talk running in a bit. Like this
how
guy's
fast,
there,
how fast,
there
how
are
fast.
A couple guys that in the office that are gaining.
Nobody's
some
beating
speed.
You. Nobody's beating you.
I like to admit the fact that I'm in my 40s, and the folks that are closest behind me are 20 years younger than me, but they are behind me.
You got
to
rub it in.
It's fun to do that. I mean, it is fun to do that. But they're gaining. You know, it's going to be interesting this year. We're not doing one this year. Just the timing didn't work out. We're going to do an offsite run where we just do one around the monuments and stuff. And we'll throw a little competition in there. It should get interesting.
But still the movement in June.
Still going to do the movement. It's been advertised. I'm actually responsible for the movement. I'm the movement chair, I think.
You're welcome.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so excited about that and leading that for the company and just getting everybody excited about fitness and wellness.
What did I call it? Hellness? I said hellness instead of wellness. That was so bad.
Yeah, that's maybe an in-betweener.
I can't wait. Hashtag no edits. we got 2 minutes left.
Sure.
Till the commercial break. We love shout-outs. Hi, Mom. Love you. Shout-outs. You'd mentioned a coach, a legend earlier. Your wife, like...
Yeah, so as we segment in, there's a couple of folks. First of all, my wife, Megan, a saint. Couldn't do half the things I've done over the last few years. I mean, last 10, 15 years without her. So she's number one in terms of shout out. My kids, certainly, what they've, you know, just doing everything for them. I'd say, you know, my coach, Nacho, incredible human being.
Is that his name, Nacho?
Nacho,
that's
yeah.
his nickname.
Yep, it's his name. No, it's his name. He goes
his
by
running
Nacho.
Nacho Libre?
No, which is a great movie. Nacho Hernando?
Nacho Hernando.
Shout out to Nacho.
Nacho is the man.
And Meg, of course.
And then I give all glory to God. I mean, through him, all things are possible, and would be remiss without giving a shout out to the big man upstairs.
I love that you said that, and we might hit that the second half. But we talked work stuff, business stuff, Take Two Consulting, which is epic. We got some flags, we got some swag, that rhymed. The second half, your journey in health, fitness, as a husband, father, I'm excited. This medal on the table, we'll hold it up. Wild what
Pretty
you've
cool.
done the last couple of years.
Yeah,
I can't wait
excited
to
talk about this. Excited to talk about fitness and some of the changes that I decided to make that have been for the better for sure.
Tim McMahon, not Chief Revenue Officer from the intro, Chief Sales Officer from Take Two Consulting. That's what the hell just happened. I'm kidding. Welcome back to the second half of What the Hell Just Happened. If you're catching us here on the radio show and you missed the first half, good news is you can find us on your favorite podcast platform and YouTube now, right?
Yes, sir.
I keep saying YouTube. I don't know anything about YouTube. Under What the Hell Just Happened, Tim McMahon, love this dude. It's weird because we're friends, but he's also like, you're a stud. Professionally, you've had a great career. Take Two Consulting.
Appreciate
we talked
that.
About that. A lot of business stuff, recruiting and staffing the first half. I'm so glad you're up here, man.
I appreciate it. You know, thanks for having me on, like I said, and just all your success. Cheers to you, because it's been incredible, and I think you finally found your calling and excited to support you in it.
It's been a fun ride. Healthy or not healthy? You ready?
I'm ready.
Healthy or not healthy, Kyle Martin.
Ooh, we'll go healthy.
I think so. It's a smart. Healthy or not healthy, Matt Schwanke.
Matt,
not healthy, I'll say it. Hey, we're calling out two buddies of ours.
Matt needs to maybe look on his health a little bit.
I want them, if you ever listen to an episode, listen to the second half of this show.
Hey, but great attorney. Incredible attorney. Oh, my gosh. You know, also found his calling. I mean, what an amazing individual.
Healthy or not healthy, Brews Room golf tournament in South Florida.
I'd say probably not healthy. Healthy mentally, unhealthy
physically.
For like
4.5 to 6 hours.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yep.
Healthy or not healthy, golf trip with the boys.
Healthy. Mental health, I mean, it depends on who you are. For me, healthy.
Healthy or not healthy, working in politics.
Tough one. I'm going to go not healthy.
Trey?
Oh, it's not healthy. It's 24/7. Okay. It never stops.
Okay. Healthy or not healthy, working in recruiting and staffing.
Healthy?
Question mark. I love it.
Life's about balance. And I think some of us get caught up in not putting our phones down, not putting our computers away. So as long as you approach any professional career with a balance in mind, I think it's healthy. So I'd lean towards healthy on staffing.
Healthy or not healthy, I'm going to name a couple names. Jay Shea, Joe Leahy, and Jay Bitzer.
You know, Jay has come around in terms of Bitzer being healthy, but I'm going to go like the average there is unfortunately probably not healthy.
Dude, shout outs is so bad. Healthy or not healthy, Take Two Consulting. I love some. Thanks for the swag, man.
Absolutely. We're very healthy as a company. We talked about the June Movement Contest earlier. Fitness and wellness is on our mind, and as well as the health of our clients and customers and consultants.
You kind of stuttered there. I'm gonna call you out. Yep. But I also said hellness earlier instead
I know,
of wellness.
Yeah, I was thinking healthy and health, and so I just kind of tried to blend
hashtag
those two.
No edits instead of hashtag.
I get it. Yeah, that was
okay. Last one, which will transition: healthy or not healthy, running marathons.
So certainly looks healthy on the surface, and is great in terms of like from a running perspective. As long as you treat them appropriately, they can be very healthy, and prepare appropriately, they can be very healthy.
What do you think, Trey?
I think they're healthy, but I have a buddy doing one right now, and every time he goes to do one, he gets injured. When he's doing the marathon, like in the midst of it.
The marathon, you know, listen, the marathon distance is it's an incredible. It's an incredible test of mental and physical endurance. What you can prepare for weeks, months, there's professionals that do this, and a mile in, everything can go south. 25 miles in, everything can go south. You prepare for the worst and hope for the best. The Navy SEAL
Which
mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally healthy.
Slow is smooth, smooth is fast.
Right, exactly. And I have a lot to be thankful for in terms of being able to get through the marathons I've run and come out on the other side healthy. But there's a lot of people that don't. I've been a part of races where people have passed away.
Oh, geez. Go ahead, Trey.
Wow. I was just going to ask you, you're doing a marathon. What's one distinctive face or body type that has passed you in a marathon that you said, damn it?
Oh, that's a good question. I got a story.
A distinctive face, like a
face or body type where you're like, oh, dang, maybe an age. So could be man, could be woman, overweight, skinny, old, where you're like, dang it.
Dang it, I wish.
How are they beating me?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that.
No one's beating him, by the way.
Well,
okay. Besides, like, we'll get there. Like,
okay,
this dude is
enough.
A beast.
There are several very fast women out there that absolutely make me look like I'm walking.
And when you say extremely fast, what's a pace that this person
save that?
Okay,
save
sorry,
that.
Sorry.
No, it's good. Yeah. That's great stuff. I want to paint the picture of where he is. I laugh at this. I'll answer your question. Have you ever ran a Spartan race?
I have not done a Spartan race.
So it's depending on the mileage. There's a mid, low, and high. I ran an 18-mile race. There's obstacles along the way. Mm-hmm. I rolled my ankle about 6 miles in, and it was a 14-mile race. So I limped for the rest of the miles. There was a blind person that walked by me as I'm limping the last couple miles. That's my answer. They had two people with them. Back to Tim. I know exactly what you're saying. This dude, no one's beating him unless they're competitive and studs.
Okay, fair enough.
I
want to share this story. This man was a quarterback in high school. Like, hell of an athlete, right? Very competitive.
A little
smart.
Small, but yeah, you know, I probably.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, I mean, I was coming out of high school, I was probably 6'0", 140, 145 on a good day if I had enough.
Good running weight.
Yeah, if I drank three bottles of water before I got on the scale kind of thing. But
141.
Right. Yep. And then, you know, started getting into some weightlifting stuff in college a little late. But, you know, then also went to Florida. And as much as we talked about that earlier, Florida is a great scholastic school. It's also a fun school to kick back a few cold ones.
A few?
Shout out.
A few? <Yeah. laughs> A lot. Which we're all guilty of. So you, right, you grew up sports, athletic, faith. Faith, I think, will come up again.
Mm-hmm.
Went to UF. We can say raged. Like, you raged.
Oh, yeah.
You partied.
Definitely.
I got pictures of this guy doing chants and stuff with close friends.
We had some fun times.
Then professional career, marriage, kids. I'm not saying you went off the deep end. Like, I'm still in the deep end.
Sure.
Something has happened recently, a switch flipped, where you don't give yourself credit. Like, you're in the top, I would say, 5% of people in the fitness wellness area.
I look at life in general. There's no reason, and I am going to drop a three-letter word. There's no reason to do anything half-ass, in my opinion. If you are going to do something, put your best effort forward in every single capacity. And it doesn't matter if we're talking professional and you don't have the job that you want. Put the effort in to get the job that you ultimately want to get. Zero in on whatever the task is you have. Don't worry about the next guy. Worry about yourself and put your best effort forward. And as I started my fitness journey 7 years ago, I was 220 pounds at the time.
What do you weigh now for context?
170.
How tall are you?
6'1".
So 6'1", 240. Yep. So now 6'1", 170.
6'1", 220 to 6'1", 170.
240 was pushing it. Yeah, sorry. 240 sorry for the extra pounds.
That was a lot of weight. You know, the weight was sort of like the first milestone. Like, how do I get this weight off? Then it was, let's figure out, you know, do we want to lift? Do we want to run? Do we want to do a combo? And sort of running became something that just gradually got easier, right? As I progressed through running. Got a fantastic coach we mentioned earlier, Nacho.
Nacho! And I like saying that.
Yeah. And, you know, still never had a chip with Nacho, but we need to do that at some point. But he put me on a great plan, and that's just evolved. And it was, how fast can we get? But it was never really like about speed. It was about putting the effort into the training. I have zero interest in a 26.2 sticker on my bumper. I have tons of interest in the struggle and challenge of preparing for a race.
Man, we're going to hit that medal. Go ahead.
How long did it take before you started looking in the mirror and you're like, I like this?
One day?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but realistically, we're like,
the first half marathon you ran. You ran this half marathon. We talked earlier, the prep call. His first half marathon ever. Go ahead.
Yeah, first half marathon was in January of 2020. Ran a 135 Fort Lauderdale A1A Publix half marathon, and at the time that was like a 720 pace, and I was pretty pumped about it. I mean, considering I'd only done indoor training, exclusively treadmill training at that point, and probably the most at one point, one run was 5 miles on a treadmill. So excited about that. But, like, you know, as you go through transformation physically through fitness, it's most of the time, like, other people start saying things to you versus you seeing yourself, right? Like, whoa, you lost a bunch of weight, or whoa, this or that. And then you start thinking, wow, maybe there is some change going on here for the better. And so, for me, that first race was great. Got me really kind of hooked into distance running in the beginning of 2020. COVID hits. That I then hire a coach and start looking at, hey,
Nacho. I love saying that. I'm going to say that randomly all the time now.
I'd always been scared of the, you know, to be brutally honest.
Yes.
26.2 is a scary distance. You know, it's overwhelming when you think about it. Now it's kind of like, you know, just a long run. But at the time, it was a scary distance. And so I had set eyes on the Chicago Marathon in October of 2021. When Nacho and I first got together, he was like, you're not ready. We can't do it. And that was April of 21. And so we defaulted to the fall of 2022 to run that race. I ran my first marathon. I ended up running my first marathon in December of 21 in California, the Sacramento, California International Marathon.
So as of this recording, it's May of 25, right?
Yep.
I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I've lost track of time. That's what, what was the year, 21?
December of 21, yeah. So we're on 4.5-ish years.
And you trained for it. Cause I want to talk about this medal that only so many people have, but I have to go back. His first half marathon. How much is a half marathon? How many miles?
13.1.
Your average mile pace was 720?
720, yep.
If you and I went outside right now and ran 1 mile.
Can't do it.
I don't think you and I could run a 720 mile.
You know,
we got shorter legs too, right?
Maybe we could maybe get one if we did it.
Maybe a
1 mile max pace right now.
Beginning in the morning, it's got to be cool.
1 mile.
You guys could do a relay.
You ran your first half marathon. This I'm trying to say, like this man, you're also, I think, like just you're all in. Addicted,
right. Yeah. Like, oh, for sure. I mean, listen, running is very, you know, if you enjoy it and like it, it can be very addicting in a very good way. But yeah, that 135 was like, okay, great. Here's a starting point. How do we get under 130? How do we get under 120?
How do I beat this? How do I beat this?
So fast forward, January 25 is my fastest half of 117, which is a 552 mile pace. And so that's at 42, which is my age, I'm sort of looking at like, man, I never thought seeing a sub six for 13.1 was possible. Now, how do we get the marathon pace to sub six? Right. That's kind of the next challenge for me.
Let's transition to marathon. So the first marathon you ran was Chicago.
First marathon I ran was California Sacramento. International. Right.
Sorry.
Yep. December of 21. And really a lot of these bigger marathons. So this is what's called the.
Let's go to it. Hold that up. This is like, I would say an Oscar of running. If you own this thing right here. You're a badass.
Yeah, so this is what's called the six-star medal. It's sponsored by Abbott, and it's a World Marathon Major, so it's the six marathon majors. So you have Tokyo, which I just completed here in March this year. Yep,
Thank you.
Boston, London, Berlin, Chicago, and New York.
The biggest marathons in the world.
In the world, yep.
You run them all.
Toughest, easiest.
Ooh, good question.
Good question. So I wouldn't necessarily say easiest, but the one I performed the best in was London. I ran 2:43 in London and just felt amazing. Whole family was there, incredibly supportive. It's like a 6:10-ish mile. The toughest one, looking back, they were all tough. I'd say New York was probably most challenging. That was fall of 24, this most recent one, or most recent fall. But I was well prepared for all of them. I mean, the average pace on the six was 2:48 across the six. So, so under a 2:50 pace or a 2:50 marathon, which is a sub 6:30 pace, average.
I don't run. Some people run and don't run. So you ran your average pace is less than what minute per mile?
So the average of all six was in that 625 range.
6 minutes, 25 seconds.
Right. Yeah.
For a marathon.
Yep.
Across 22. The biggest marathons.
The biggest marathons. You got
it. Remember that time we said earlier, 720? Yeah. If someone held a gun to your face and said, run a 6 minute and 20 second mile right now, could you do it?
Not right now, but I could train too.
I could train.
You guys can train.
Because we're tiny. I seriously think being short would help.
I think does stride and body form matter?
Sorry. Yeah.
Totally. I mean, listen, form matters. Running, there is certainly a level of physical fitness that you have to get your body to be able to do, just first of all, run 26.2, but then run them. Yeah. Run them at a pace that is competitive, right? But really, running is a mental game, and because especially when you're first starting, 5 seconds into running, your brain starts to tell you, okay, this is enough, stop, and you have to overcome that. And then, I live in Fort Lauderdale, I live in South Florida. It's hot in Jacksonville.
It's freezing down there.
It's hotter there.
Yeah.
So the only way that you can run is when the sun is not up. And so now you've got the challenge of you've got to get up at 4 a.m. every single day to go hit the mileage in order to be able to do this.
Oh my gosh.
And so there are days that, that's not fun. And so that's a mental challenge. Then running 13 miles before you have to take your children to school at 7 a.m. Is also a challenge, not only mentally, but physically. And so there's a lot of days, though, where I'll start my day, I'm 20,000 steps in, and it's 7:15.
how many calories are you intaking to great combat question. All burning this? Eating. Yeah, and when?
Yeah, so during
I did not earn this, but I'm putting it on.
I think you should. During a marathon block, I'm hitting 70, close to 80 miles a week, and I'm trying to bring in north of 5,000 calories a day to maintain weight, to stay flat.
Literally just, yeah, to break
just
even.
To stay flat.
5,000 calories a day consuming.
Yeah, we're talking 5 to 6 chicken breasts, piles of waffles, bananas, sandwiches upon sandwiches. You know,
no
you
beers though.
No.
You can't do that.
You go to Jimmy John's, you get 2 subs, not 1 at lunch.
I like some of this parts. Some of those parts.
The eating part actually is one of the biggest benefits because you can literally look at it as a furnace that burns anything. You'd prefer not to put tires in it, but you could put a tire in it and it'll still burn. It'll just burn black smoke for a little bit. You put a nice fake log in there and it's going to burn crisp and perfect and give you that extra kick. And that's ideally what you want to put in it.
You got one? I got one.
This is probably silly, but you're bringing in 5,000 calories. You're burning it. It's got to go out. Are you on a routine because you're running so much that you have to actually go to the bathroom at certain? Like, I know that's silly, but right?
Well, then you're consuming, you know, you're trying to consume a gallon or two of water a day or of liquid a day. So, you know, you're borderline basically an animal. And so, you know, look at it as you are living like an animal during a marathon block for 120 days. You are in and out of the restroom, and you're in and out of the kitchen. You know, my wife constantly is
great
is
transition because I was bringing that up.
Annoyed,
next,
yeah. I mean, like, if I'm in the fridge, like, where's the food or what do we have? It's 6 o'clock and I'm starving. She's like, no one else is hungry. We just ate 2 hours ago. I'll come back from a big run, let's say on a Saturday or Sunday morning, and I'll have a pile of waffles and muffins and sausages and all this stuff at 9 o'clock, and then 11 o'clock I'm making a triple club sandwich. You know, and it feels like you haven't eaten anything. So that part is great.
Would you be able to do any of this without your wife and kids' support?
Zero chance. You know, without my wife's support, none of this is possible. She's a saint. She does more than I could ever do in terms of supporting the family, supporting myself, supporting my career.
Traveling. Look,
she's
at
been
this.
To
Tokyo.
She's been to, yeah, she, she's
Austin,
been to four of those.
That's cool. Like this alone, traveling. Do the kids go or not?
Running is running is an individual accomplishment, right? A lot, you have to physically put one foot in front of the other as an individual. But as a professional that doesn't do this as a profession, it's just a hobby, it is impossible to do it without a strong supporting cast. And I have one of the best, not only with Take Two and in my company, which have taken that flag, has been to every race across the globe.
I love that flag over there.
In every single race. Yep. And, my wife and family, my parents have been to half the races. I mean, it's been incredible to travel the world and go to places I never would have gone if it were not for the journey that I've found.
Okay. Do sunglasses speed you up or slow you down?
You know, so this is a great question for runners.
Bro, you said sunglasses, not those glasses.
No, I was going to get him to tell me if I could run faster in these or not.
I just like the pictures with the glasses on. But the real question is...
Yeah, I mean, I train in the dark, so I don't wear sunglasses. Mm. I also am one of those individuals that doesn't listen to music.
Not healthy. Not healthy.
Probably safety. Right, for safety?
Well, safety, yeah. I mean, that's one thing. But also, like, you want to think about, like, your pace. Where's my mindset going to be on race day versus where it is right now? What is my breathing? What is my breath control? Where's my heart rate? Where am I going to step in a hole? Am I not going to step in a hole? So when you get serious about running, you remove the headphones and you focus on...
You're dialed in.
Yeah, you're dialed in. But if you're at the gym lifting weights or you're just going out for a Saturday jog, sure, throw some headphones on, chill. But... You know, marathon running and really trying to be competitive in marathon running involves a lot of speed work in addition to very easy run work. You're not trying to run. You're not going to go do a sprint with a headset on. Just imagine sprinting for an hour.
Mm. You are sprinting for multiple hours. Yeah. That's like, go ahead, Trey. So.
Okay, 2 quick ones. Shoes that you're wearing when you're doing a marathon. Yes. And you're all-time favorite place to run by yourself. It doesn't have to be for a marathon, just you have to go for a run.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
All right, so my shoes are the Nike Vaporfly 2.0s. I'm a big
Nike
fan.
We're taking sponsors if you want to throw it out there. I know he is. Sponsor this man. Just send him free shoes.
In my opinion, nobody makes a better racing shoe. My easy run shoes are ASICs. I run in the Metaspeeds.
ASICs sponsor this man, by the way.
So I'm an ASIC easy run fan. And then I'll mix in different brands here and there. But ASIC and Nike are really my go-to. ASICs for easy runs. Nike's for hard, fast, you know, challenging runs and racing. Favorite place to run? You know, I'm a climate runner. So runners prefer it to be in the 40s, you know, in an ideal scenario, 40 degree temps. Yeah. A crisp, cool morning on the national lawn in D.C.
Watching boys.
The sun, you know, how the Capitol's set up, where the sun will rise directly above the Capitol, you know, charging down the street there is a pretty cool setup for running. I've run all over the globe. I'd say I ran in Tokyo. I ran where the Olympics were a few years ago, and in that village, that was pretty cool. I've run... you know, I've run in the Keys. A lot of fun running
Ragnar,
down there.
I got my Ragnar medal right here.
Yeah, Ragnar, a little Miami to Key West, 198 miles with
that
a team
a
of
blast.
10.
That was a blast.
We did that about 10 years ago. So there's all kinds of really cool places to run. I'd say that the best part about running is all you need is a pair of shoes and a pair of shorts, and you can do it anywhere. There's really no reason not to go run.
Are you anti-barefoot running?
I do not typically run barefoot unless I'm on a beach, just because your feet need to be protected.
Fair enough.
Oh, I hate how fast time goes. Man, Timmy crushed it. What are you looking forward to, right? We got about 2 minutes left. Wrap up. We can run over too and keep recording, but like what does the future hold?
You know, I'm really excited. My children, three daughters, 8, 7, and 4, to see what they get excited for. You know, what they get into. Right now, it's gymnastics and a little bit of swimming and tumbling and stuff like that. But they're really building core strength. What will they be excited to go do? I feel like one of them will maybe venture into running at some point. You know, I'm a huge fan of Parker Valby and what she did at UF, and now her beginning of her professional career as a runner. Had the girls keep watch her, and we pay attention to men's and women's athletics in the Olympics, and she's been very excited to they were excited to watch those, and so it'll be fun to see how they develop over the next couple of years into running. For me, it's there's going to be a peak where you can't run any faster. I don't know that I've reached that threshold, so I'm running the Marathon Project in December in Phoenix. That'll be the next big race for me. It's a 500 person race, elite race. You have to qualify for.
And not 900 degrees.
Well, it's December, so we'll hopefully it'll be nice. But and then work-wise, it's let's continue to drive forward in this challenging economy that we find ourselves in.
My least favorite part of the show is running out of time. Tim McMahon, Chief Sales Officer, not Revenue Officer. I love saying that now. That's the intro of Take Two Consulting. Absolute stud. I'll ask you, did you have fun?
Great time. Incredible show. Incredible atmosphere.
Would you come back?
I would be back in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Tim McMahon, I love this man. That's what the hell just happened!